ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Hello and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It's Dr. Daria. Remember, if you miss any of our segments today, you can find them on demand, where you can download the podcast at radiomd.com. Now, let's jump into our health news of the week. The first is about the tragic death of our vice president's son, Beau Biden. Then wanted to talk about the medicine behind that and the medical information, and we've been having a lot of questions. Now, brain cancers like Beau Biden's kill about 15,000 adults every year. According to experts, a variety of malignant brain and central nervous system tumors kill this amount in the United States. Experts believe that Biden suffered from a primary cancer called a glioblastoma, which is an aggressive cancer of the brain's supportive tissue. Now, according to cancer.net, approximately 23,000 adults will be diagnosed with primary brain cancers this year. Now, brain tumors are a particularly common form of cancer in children, with approximately 4,300 children and teens diagnosed with malignant tumors a year. Treatment can be very broad and generally involves surgery first to remove as much of the tumor as possible. Then that's often followed by radiation and chemotherapy with a variety of drugs. And there are, of course, a variety of complications that can appear with brain tumors. The key takeaway is that this continues to be a disease for which we need to devote more and more resources, and which they are devoting many resources to learn about more therapies to effectively treat brain cancer and the complications associated with having it. On to another really more positive note, and that is about exposing children to multiple languages. You know, this is a new study by the University of Chicago, and they found that young children who hear more than one language spoken at home become better communicators. Now, these children from multilingual environments were better at interpreting a speaker's meaning than children who were exposed only to the native tongue. Now, good news for all parents out there who don't happen to be bilingual or trilingual. The researchers found that children do not even have to be bilingual themselves, but just being exposed to more than one language is key for building effective social communication skills overall. So key takeaway, if you can teach your child another language, it really helps them to learn not just the language, but perspective and listening to others and interpreting better. And just any exposure to additional languages is good, especially at those very, very early ages when their brains are so adaptive and absorbing so much information. Our next piece is about cervical cancer and the latest vaccine. Now, according to the new study by the CDC and Cedars-Sinai, if we were to give the new HPV vaccine to all 11 to 12-year-old children before they're exposed to the virus, that could potentially prevent 80% of cervical cancers in the United States. That is the potential to protect against nearly 19,000 other cancers diagnosed in the United States associated with that same virus as well. That includes anal, oropharyngeal, and even penile cancers. This is important because being able to protect against 8% of oropharyngeal cancers are those in the mouth, and which is one, actually the second most common HPV-associated cancer. Now, really important because this is a vaccine that is available and very important for all parents of children ages 11 to 12 or younger to know about it to make sure that they can protect their child before they're exposed to the virus. Now, moving on from 11 to 12-year-olds to prenatal. And this is a new study out of University of Alberta, recently published in Obstetrics and Gynecology. It found that pregnant women who exercise can significantly lower the risk of undergoing C-section and also lower their risk of having exceptionally large babies. Now, the study analyzed studies that looked at the influence of maternal exercise on baby outcomes. Women who exercised had a 31% reduction in the risk of having a large baby without even changing their risk and without increasing their risk of having a small baby or even a premature delivery. And they also had a 20% risk in the reduction of having a C-section. So again, we know that exercise is important in so many aspects of our lives. We did a radio show recently about more exercise in pregnancy and really how to incorporate it. And this talks about the importance of that in our health and really true outcomes benefits. Also, prenatal exercise may reduce the risk of having a large baby at birth and be associated with preventing childhood obesity. So again, really important, all women who are pregnant, it's very important that they maintain a good and healthy exercise routine, not just for themselves, but for their child. Now, it's summertime. You know, we think of grilling, outdoors. Unfortunately, there is also an additional risk of kidney stones. Not so fun. Doctors say that more people suffer from kidney stones during hot summer weather when they often become dehydrated. Now, that's because minerals in the body can crystallize in the kidney, and that causing the stone. Now, those stones can move throughout the urinary tract, causing severe pain. I see patients with kidney stones in the hospital, and they literally look like the same pain that people have when they're in labor. It's excruciating. So, what do you do? For one, they are also associated with other risk factors like obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure. So maintaining those in control is very important to help you also protect kidney stones. Some other things you can do. Drinking lots of water, staying very hydrated, and really avoiding really high sugary sodas and high caffeine to prevent dehydration. That can help. Doctors also recommend limiting consumption of high animal protein, which can worsen it, and increasing your consumption of fruits and vegetables. So really important for everybody. Those things are good for your health in general. If you do have a tendency to develop kidney stones, those are some extra things you can do to protect yourself as we go into the summer months. Now, this next study kind of gave me the willies as a contact lenser myself. This is a new study about wearing contact lenses and how it can change the community of bacteria living in your eyes. So in the study, the surface of the eye in people who wore contact lenses had triple the proportion of certain bacteria species compared with people in the study who didn't wear contact lenses. Now, the scientists say that they need to conduct more research, but what's the key takeaway here? To prevent potential complications when you're wearing contact lenses, wash your hands, change that solution daily. Never leave that solution in the same contact lens holder and put your contact lenses back into it. Pour it out, get a new solution, keep your lens case clean, and don't wear the same contact lens daily for several weeks, which we all do. But this really showed that there are consequences to that, and it's really worth wash your hands before you handle them, and cleaning all the materials you use for those contact lenses. Really a benefit to avoid that health side effect, and I'm going to be doing that more myself. Now this next one, say you're looking at Facebook or just kind of dozing off. You think your brain's slacking off? It's actually not. Researchers have found a new benefit to daydreaming or just letting your brain drift. They believe that when the brain isn't actively engaged in other tasks, it drops into a mode that prepares it to be social with other brains. Now, scientists looked at this by doing a functional MRI, and participants were given questions about various scenarios. They found that the researchers were able to predict, really, how participants were going to make social judgments by gazing the activity of the specific brain area, really the same one that is active when you're relaxing and your brain doesn't seem to be doing anything, or what they called your default mode. The key takeaway here is that scientists found that this default mode, it's really not your brain relaxing. Your brain never does that. It's constantly processing, but what it is doing is preparing itself for the next social interaction. Which is also probably why it's good to have moments of just letting our brain have moments of not really doing something, not processing, but just letting it relax. Now, our next study is, again, about the value of sleep. And we know this. We've talked so much about the health impacts of sleep on many things. And this one was about the correlation with Alzheimer's disease and how it may be affected. Now, researchers believe that poor sleep allows kind of a memory-robbing protein to build up in the brain. They studied just a small number of healthy men and women in their 60s, 70s, and early 80s. They were given brain scans to measure the amount of beta amyloid in their brains. Higher amounts were shown to disrupt sleep. That leads to a vicious cycle because we also know that having Alzheimer's itself disrupts sleep. It's unclear which is a cause and effect, but it does seem that sleep could be a factor in the development or progression of Alzheimer's. And we know that lack of sleep has a multitude of other bad health effects, making the importance of getting a good night's sleep even more crucial. So there you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, you can follow me on my Twitter at my handle, at Dr. Daria. You can also go to @ShareCareInc, #ShareCareRadio. You're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.